All right, someone explained to me this weekend that this is kind of the perfect time of year for sports fans, that baseball's in this dramatic way, football, both college and pro, gearing up. Now, this someone is my husband, a former sports professional turned sports fan, married to me, a sports-challenged gal. So if you're like me and you would like to like sports, this segment is for you. The BPP Monday Morning Quarterback is my husband, Bill Wolfs. Real sports fans will remember him from ESPN's Around the Horn. Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Hello, Allison. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the coffee, by the way. That was very nice.
You got it, baby.
We need some kind of music for Bill. Don't we? We need a special little package. Let's get on that.
All right. We're going to do that. Hey, so it was our big story of the day, the Mets' huge meltdown.
Yeah.
Why are you delighting in this so?
Because I come from the middle of the country, as you well know, and for me, coming from the middle of the country, everything that happens in the big city is bad. I mean, in terms of sports, like I root against all New York teams, all Los Angeles teams, because those people come from cities where there's so many other distractions.
Did we mention to people that this is going to be an opinion column, by the way, on Mondays?
This is not opinion.
This is fact. I'm here to stand behind this.
You can go to the Central Park, or you can go to the opera, or you can go to the museum. If you come from, say, St. Louis or somewhere like that, when the team loses, where do you go? You go to the tavern and you drink the local brew, but that's about all you can do. So it's much
which
more
is, which is heartbreak in most of these places.
Exactly.
So, is there a reason the Mets choked so?
Well, I think it's difficult to say. Then they did choke. I mean, they blew a 7-game lead with 17 to play, which is some, if you add up all the numbers, that's some kind of record. This is my view of it. Baseball, the physical act of hitting a baseball, throwing a baseball, catching a baseball, there are a lot of guys who can do it just about the same. The question of strength and speed and athletic difference isn't as important as it is in other sports. So it comes down to frame of mind. Baseball is the ultimate game of frame of mind. If you're confident, you play well. If you're not confident, you play poorly, and that's the difference between winning and losing. I think when the Mets began to fall apart as a group, they lost confidence, and you call that choking, I suppose. In fact, that is what you call it. And I think that so as a group, they lost confidence, and when that happens, failure feeds upon itself. It's a self-perpetuating thing. In the meantime, Philadelphia, which has an excellent, excellent team, the Phillies, they can really hit the ball, they were having the opposite experience. They became extremely confident as a group, and so their success was self-perpetuating.
We were literally trying to buy furniture. I'm trying to buy a cherry wood 5 chest of drawers yesterday, and your BlackBerry is going off with this agent guy we know who's this ultimate Phillies fan losing his mind about the Phillies yesterday.
Yeah, it was a great moment.
I got like 3 text messages from people in Philly.
It was fairly epic. It was fairly epic that the Mets should choke the way they did, and it was really spectacular. They fell down the stairs of baseball and wound up in a big heap at the bottom. It was really, really bad. Yesterday was particularly bad. The game they had to have. Their starting pitcher, Tom Glavine, who will probably be in the Hall of Fame, one of the great pitchers of all time, gave up 7 runs in the first inning. And so there wasn't even much drama to it. They really blew it in the biggest way at the biggest moment. So
they're not the only ones, though, who are blowing it, as from what I understand. There's a lot of these college football teams who are really big-name teams who have been upset. Florida is one of them,
Florida was one of them. They lost to Auburn at home in Gainesville, Florida, on Saturday night. They were the third-ranked team in the country, the fourth-ranked team in the country. West Virginia was another very highly ranked team. They lost to South Florida.
Which is basically a community college.
Well, now they're a community college with what is now like the sixth-ranked team in the country. Oklahoma lost to Colorado. Texas lost. It was a weekend where a disproportionate number of the highest-ranked teams in the country lost, and even the teams that won in the top 10 or top 25 struggled. USC barely beat University of Washington. Wisconsin barely beat Michigan State.
But why? So why are all these teams who've done so well in the past having a difficult season?
I think it has to do with parity. There are more good teams, and the reason for the parity, there are a lot of reasons. One, in recent years, the number of scholarships that a Division I college football team is allowed to give has been reduced to 85. And so teams can no longer hoard all the good talent. If you limit the number of great players they can sign up to play for them, that leaves another little group of great players who are free agents. They are running around looking for a place to play, and so they go to what were previously lesser schools. Another thing is television. College football, almost every college football game is somewhere on your cable box, and that is a huge deal in terms of recruiting. It used to be you had to, you know, you brought your film with you and you sat down in guys' living room and said, hey, look at our team. We're Alabama. We're USC. You'll see us on national television because we're so good. They always put us on national television. And so the really good teams, because there were a limited number of games on TV, the really good teams dominated the television. Well, nowadays, everybody's on television all the time, and so it really it evens the recruiting playing field, if you will. And so lesser schools, formerly lesser schools, now have an even chance of getting really good players to go. I think it's the limited scholarships and the TV thing.
Let's talk pro football.
Sure.
Brett Favre, as we all know from Something About Mary. He had a big weekend. He threw his, 421st touchdown pass. See, I did my homework for this.
Boy,
segment.
Look at you go, baby.
Let's take a listen to Brett Favre talking about this momentous occasion.
I know I've thrown a bunch. Dan Marino has been a hero and a role model for me, and that will never change just because I passed him in numbers.
He threw a bunch. So did Dan Marino. He's the fellow who had the previous record?
The fellow?
He did.
Fellow.
Hello.
I told you I don't.
The fellow who had the previous record?
Yes, the record. yes, Dan Marino, who played for the Miami Dolphins for all of those years, had 420, and he is still among the greatest who ever played. And Brett Favre threw not only number 421, but 422 yesterday as the Green Bay Packers defeated the Minnesota Vikings. And it sort of cements Brett Favre. I mean, I don't even know if he needed cementing. Brett Favre was already considered one of the greats to ever play, and now he has, you know, he's Babe Ruth. He's got the big record. And I think people feel good about it. Brett Favre it's hard not to, if you're a sports fan, even if you're not a sports fan, it's hard not to like and root for and enjoy watching Brett Favre.
Because he's an elderly gentleman at 38,
yeah,
isn't
and
he?
Last year, there was no reason he should have come back because they kind of stunk, the Green Bay Packers did last year. And it seemed like he was just coming back to just get completely obliterated this season. And who knew they were going to go 4-0?
Yeah, it's a great story. And Green Bay, as we've discussed, Green Bay is a great team to root for. The city owns the team, and it's a little tiny town in Wisconsin. And it's one of the old guard of the NFL teams. And Favre is this country boy, throwback guy who just looks like he's enjoying himself every day when he plays. So, yeah, Brett Favre, big deal. And a big deal this year that they're 4-0. It's shocking, like Luke said.
All right. Bill Wolf.
Yes.
Thank you so much for waking up and helping us out on our debut broadcast of the Bryant Park Project.
There is nothing for which I'd rather wake up, darling.
And thanks again for the coffee.
Okay,
awfully nice.
Have a great day.
All right.
Bye.